Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
God. But before we learn about how to bring glory to God, we need to understand what does it mean, the glory of God. We talk about the word glory all the time. We sing song about glory. We say glory in the church. We read the Bible, we find the word glory everywhere. But do we know the word glory mean? We're going to look into it today. I'm not sure I can finish the whole thing because of the time limit. Before we talk about glory, I'd like to read a few scriptures here. Romans chapter 11, verse 36. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. So the Bible says everything in the universe that he created is for him, through him, and to him. For what? For his glory. You exist for the glory of God. Amen. Pastor Da exists. When I see Pastor Da, I see the glory of God. She is his creation. By the way, I want to thank my wife for working behind the scene to help me to do this ministry. And without her, I cannot do it. I want to thank God for sending my wife to me, the glory of God. She is the glory of God. And I love her very much. This coming Wednesday is going to be our 25th anniversary. We will be married. We marry on March 9, 1980. I remember my wedding day now. I repent. Hallelujah. Very wise man, huh? Remember wedding day and birthday. Proverbs chapter 16 verse 4. I read from New King James and NLT. The Lord has made all for himself. Yes, even the wicked of the days of doom. NLT say, the Lord, New Living Translation, the Lord has made everything for his own purposes. God make everything for his glory, for his purposes. The ultimate goal of God to create the universe and you and me and everything in the whole universe, the heavens and the seas and the land, everything is for his glory. Therefore, as Christian, we need to understand the meaning of the glory of God. The reason you all exist right now is for the glory of God. God make everything for his glory. Everyone say it with me. I am here on earth for the glory of God. My dear brother and sister, without God's glory, there would be nothing. What is the glory of God? The glory of God is who he is. The glory of God is the essence of his divine nature. I'm going to go into detail in a little bit here. I just covered the big picture first. The glory of God is the weight of his importance. The radiance of his splendor. Like when you see the sun, actually you cannot look at the sun. Your retina will be burned. When you look at the sun, the splendor, the light out of the sun. God has a splendor. You cannot look at God face to face in your physical body right now. God's glory is a demonstration of His power. When God healed that lady in Thailand, that is the and healed my dad, that was the demonstration of the glory of God. The atmosphere of His presence. The expression of His goodness and His perfection. The Bible says in the book of Psalm 104, verse 31, may the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in His works. His works reveal the glory of God. And we need to reveal the glory of God. Amen. Amen. What is the glory of God? The glory of God is something we need to know as a Christian. I want to conclude that the glory of God has three meanings. Number one, is it in your paper? Yes. Number one, the glory of God refers to His standards of moral excellency. Excellence. Everyone say moral excellence. God has His standard of moral. Amen. God is perfect. That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 3 verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Fall short of the moral excellence of God. How many people in this room never lie? I lie before. How many people never gossip? I gossip before. God never gossip. God never lie. God is a perfect being who never break His own standard of moral excellence. Jesus Himself never sinned. And that's why if you look in the scripture, the Bible says in Hebrew chapter 3 verse 1, I'm going to read from NIV, in New International Version. Actually up there might be New King James, but I'm going to read from NIV. The sun is the radiance of God's glory. The sun means the Lord Jesus Christ. And the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He has provided purification for sin, He sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, never sinned. He fulfilled the standards of moral excellence of God. That's why He is the brightness of God's glory. Amen. So, let me ask this question. If you're going to look for somebody to be your example, your forerunner, who's going to be that person? Jesus Himself. That's why the Bible says, behold Jesus, so that you will grow from glory to glory by the Spirit of God. My job as a pastor is to lead you to Jesus, not to me. I need to lead you to Jesus. You can behold Jesus. You can look at Jesus, not look up to me, because I'm a human being. In fact, another reason that I forgot to tell you why I make all these CDs, because I feel that in the next future, in a few years, I may have to travel a lot. So you may see me less on the pulpit here, because I'm going to be in country, another country. I and Pastor Da are going to travel like Apostle Paul from place to place to minister using the anointing of God. One thing that I pray to God, God, I don't want to waste your anointing. I want to use everything that you have given to me to bless the nations. So one day you're going to send me out. Therefore, I'm going to leave something behind that is the word of God in the CD, that people can continue to listen. Amen. I don't know when that's going to happen, but maybe in a few years that you will see me a little bit less. I'm not gone. I'm still here, but less than before. Don't worry. I'm still in Seattle. My home is here. Amen. So the number one, everyone say at the same time, His standards of moral excellence. You understand the word? I don't have to explain this, all right? Number two, the glory of God means divine excellency. What does it mean? The glory of God refers to His majesty, kingly splendor, the most powerful, unlimited power, the unfathomable love, His justice, His faithfulness that man cannot understand. His love, His grace, all of His beauty and magnificence, His power. Do you know that God has unlimited love, unlimited power, unlimited grace, unlimited faithfulness, unlimited justice? He is so perfect. Everyone say perfect. God is perfect. Divine perfection. No man in the world is perfect. I'm not perfect. I have some flaw and some mistake in my life. But only God is perfect. Therefore, every time you talk about glory of God, you're talking about the perfection, the perfect character, the perfect goodness and qualities of God that has no mistake at all, no error at all. But even that, you know, God is a powerful God. He can just snap His finger and say one thing will happen. Do you know that? God doesn't have to make a lot of things up. He just say, done. It's done. He is that powerful. He created the heavens and the earth by just His word. Can you imagine? He doesn't have to use His hand to mold the world. He just said it happened. But even that, even though Jesus, before He came into the world, He was so full of glory, but He stripped off the glory. The Bible says that Jesus Himself, willing to strip off the glory of God, the power of God in Him, to come into the world. Look at the Bible say in Isaiah. I'm going to read many scripture here, because I feel that I need to really teach in detail in the church, not just make tickle your ear. Isaiah 53 verse 2. My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, sprouting from a root in dry and sterile ground. He's talking about Jesus. There was no beautiful or majestic about His appearance, mean the appearance of Jesus. Nothing to attract to Him. Amen. So when Jesus was born, He was born in a manger, in a stable. He was not born in a big palace. He came into the world, stripped off everything, His riches, His power. He just became a man. But the only thing that we know, He never sinned. But He did not come with archangel, with trumpet, with power, that He kind of come into the world the first time, step on the world like a majestic God. He stripped off all of those things. But I tell you like this, when He come back the second time, He will not come that way anymore. Jesus will come back in another way. Actually, when He ascended to heaven, after He died and buried and raised from the dead, when He raised up to heaven, what the Bible say about His ascension in Psalm chapter 24. Psalm chapter 24 talk about the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? Jesus. When He went up to heaven, He went up as a King of glory. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. My dear brother and sister, when Jesus went up to heaven, He went up as the King of glory. He is a new glorious body. He was not walking with the old body anymore. He was raised from the dead. And that's why the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 verse 9, Jesus was exalted by the Father to be the King of glory. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name. You know why Jesus was exalted? This is a principle in the Bible. How many people want to know why the Father exalted Jesus high above every other name? How many people want to know? Because you can apply the same principle to you. Jesus, the principle of being exalted by God. Do you remember the Bible said God exalts the humble and opposes the pride, the proud. Jesus humbled Himself. The first level of His humility is that He stripped off His glory to become a man. First level. The second level, He became a slave. He washed the disciples' feet. Wow, become a man is already pretty bad for God to become a man already. He used to be in heaven, full of glory, and he came to be born in the stable. That is pretty humble. And then he washed Jesus' feet. Now the third level of his humility is that he was willing to be ashamed on the cross, dying on the cross naked. Is that very humble? He humbled himself to be a man. He humbled himself to be a slave. You know, the worst kind of slave, the lowest kind of slave in the time of Roman is a slave who stands at the door and washes the feet of the guests. There are many levels of slave in the Roman Empire. So he chose to be the lowest kind of slave to wash the feet of the disciple. Then he chose to die on the cross nakedly and with shame on his body. That's why God exalted him three levels too. Number one, God raised him from the dead. First level. Second level, God lifted him up back to heaven. Second level. Third level, he was seated at the right hand of the Father. Right hand in the Jewish culture means authority. So he has the highest authority in heaven and earth and under the earth. How many people want God to exalt you and give you more high authority? What is the key word here? Humility. Humble. The more you humble yourself, the more God is going to lift you up. Amen. Humble yourself. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Don't be too sophisticated with God. Be like a children. Come to God like a children. Don't be too sophisticated. Try to analyze God. Try to use your mind. Try to argue with God. Just be like a children. Humble God, whatever you want in me. Just deal with me. And God can lift you up. Being humble to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You notice that in the Bible, God called the Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The Bible adds the word glory in all three of them. Look at the first one, Ephesians 1:17. That the God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. In other words, the Father is perfect. Full of moral excellence and full of perfection. Look at another scripture talking about Jesus here. Colossians 1:27. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery. God has a lot of mystery, you know that? And who's going to give that mystery to you? How many people know? How you get mystery from God? By the Holy Spirit. Okay. That's why we need to love the Holy Spirit. Among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, Christ in you, and the Bible called Christ, the hope of glory. So Jesus Christ himself was called the hope of glory. Look at another one. James chapter 2, verse 1. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. The Father of glory, Jesus, the hope of glory. How about the Holy Spirit? In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14. Are you enjoying this? You learning something? I want you to know your God, who God you are worshiping. You know why I kneeled down a while ago? Because I know my God is a glorious God. He is a glorious God. Amen. We need to understand our God. 1 Peter 4:14. If you are reproached for the name of Jesus Christ, blessed are you for the Spirit of glory. So the Bible is called the Father of glory, the hope of glory, the Lord of glory, and the Spirit of glory. In other words, all trinities, all the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are the God of glory. The glory speaks of the excellency of his divine perfections and splendor. God is the only perfect person in the whole universe. No one else is perfect. Therefore, when you see mistake of brother and sister in the church, don't complain. It's pretty normal. Everyone in the church is imperfect. Amen. Only God is perfect. Don't look at the man. God is perfect in wisdom. God is perfect in knowledge. He knows everything. Actually, I have more story to share about Thailand, but I have no time. So many things happened to me. God gave me the word of knowledge. God gave me the word of wisdom during the ministry over there. God knows everything. God is perfect in joy. God is perfect in mercy. God is perfect in power. God is perfect in judgment. God is perfect in love. Everything. Our Lord God is perfect in His being. Everyone say, my God, Jehovah, Jesus Christ is perfect. The Holy Spirit is perfect. He never say, oops. He never makes mistake. Amen. The word oops is not very good in the operating room. Every time I say oops, all the nurse say, what happened to my patient, to the patient? But God never say oops. God is perfect. Amen. Hallelujah. His characteristics, His attributes are perfect. And that's why it's amazing. This is blow my mind. You know, even the angel or the seraphim in heaven, so far for thousands of years, have not totally understand the total perfection of God yet. Isn't it interesting that we sang so many songs in a church on Sunday? We try to pick today. I want to say, Vanji, thank you for picking up very good song, very beautiful song. But anyway, it's interesting. In heaven, I read to you, both in the book of Isaiah and Revelation, it's interesting. I'm not going to read in the book of Revelation, chapter 4 and 5, but I'm going to read from Isaiah because they say the same thing. Isaiah 6, 1 to 4, in the year of King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne high and exalted, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their face, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. It's amazing. There is only one song the seraph have been singing in the past thousand of years. When the seraph, imagine with me right now in heaven, seraphim. After a few minutes, holy, holy, holy. Sing. It's thousand of years. After a few minutes, holy, 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 the Lord Almighty. Is it interesting? They don't have a lot of song. They have only one song. You never thought of that, huh? But you know what? Why they keep saying holy, holy? I believe this is what happened. And many preachers believe the same thing, I believe. I believe that every time God reveals the new thing of His glory that they have not known before, the attribute, the characteristic of God. Actually, God is still revealing to me many things about God in my life. I'm still learning revelation from God. Every time actually 2 days ago, this is interesting. God, Pastor Da talked to me about doing something like other churches doing. And I walked into my restroom, washed my hand. God spoke to me. Son, you do only what I tell you to do. You don't need to copy other churches. Yes. Another glory. And I say, holy, holy, holy. So every time the seraph sees something new, I mean, the glory of God, the perfection of God is not totally revealed to even angels. So, but every time they see, holy, 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 and another one come out, holy, holy, holy. Oh, amazing. In other words, no one in the whole universe, in the heavens and the earth, have fully understand the glory of God yet. That's why they sing only one song. I think if we do that in our church, maybe member may have left. This church is so boring, sing only holy, holy. Hallelujah. God is full of glory. That's why the Bible says that we need to behold. What does it mean, behold? American, can you help me? Behold, what does it mean? Look at it intently. Is that right? I mean, just keep looking. So God say, behold, look at him with the unveiled face. Open your eyes. Don't put your eyes on too much on the games, on the TV, in the house, in the beautiful woman, in the handsome man. No. Look at God. Amen. Keep looking at Jesus. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. Hallelujah. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory. We don't just look at Jesus' picture on the wall, but we keep looking at the perfection, the example, the majesty, the splendor of Jesus Christ through our spirit. Inside here, we don't look with our eyes. Listen carefully. Continue. And being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Do you know, I noticed one thing. I'm not saying this to boast or something like that, but it's a true story. I noticed that a lot of ladies in our church really, really act like Pastor Da. Really. They act the way they talk, the way they handle situation. They all look like Pastor Da. You know why? Because you associate, you hang around, you look at her, you look at your pastor, and you kind of eventually act like your pastor. The same thing. If you keep looking at Jesus, eventually you're going to act like Jesus. Amen. From glory to glory. Yes. Our job as pastor, we keep looking at Jesus so that you all can follow us to keep looking at Jesus and becoming like Jesus. Dad, in the home, your job is to keep looking at Jesus so that your son and your daughter will look like Jesus. Look at Jesus. Amen. And you know how you can see Jesus? Thank God that in the Spirit here, you have the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one. That's why the Bible says, just as by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is the one who helped you to see Jesus inside your spirit. That's the reason why I love revival. Because every time I get touched by God, drunk in the Holy Spirit, laugh, fall down, whatever, you know, every time the Holy Spirit will start to reveal to me who Jesus is. He will show me inside my spirit. It's hard to explain. I'm sorry. I know some of you say, what are you talking about here? I don't understand. I'm too intellectual here. But we're not talking about intellectual, we're talking about spiritual life. God inside, the Spirit inside you see Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Before I go on, because we are in the same kind of thinking here, I share this in Bangkok. I don't remember I shared this in Seattle yet. God one day showed me that there are three kinds of Christians. Can I share this quickly out of the sermon? First kind of Christian we call carnal Christians. Carnal Christians are controlled and led by the flesh. I'm hungry now. 12, 11, 10. I need to get out of here, go eat right now. My stomach control me. My feeling control me. My nose control me. The smell. Oh, smell good. I need to eat right now. You are controlled by the flesh. That's a carnal Christian. When you get mad, that is carnal Christian. That's the first one. Another one is a little bit better, but not as the best. It's we call mental Christian. S-O-U-L-I-S-H, solid Christian. Christian who are controlled by their intellectual mindset. They always analyze. If it's reasonable, I go for it. If it's not reasonable, no. If this is what I like, my mentor say I like it, go along with what I learned in the school from University of Washington. Yes, I agree with that. And I see a lot of mental Christian in the whole world. When they try to be spiritual, but they use their mental. The third kind called spiritual Christian. Spiritual Christian, you have three parts, body, mind, and spirit. The Holy Spirit dwell inside your spirit. So if you are a spiritual Christian, your spirit, listen to the Holy Spirit on the inside. And then the Holy Spirit leads your spirit. And your spirit on the inside controls your mind and your flesh. Amen. So sometime, like on last Saturday night, I tell you, I was mad to myself in the sense of my mental. Because I went get up. A lot of people walk out when I didn't preach. My mind say, you are crazy. You don't preach the word of God today. Only lay hand. But the Holy Spirit inside me say, no, you must only lay hand today. You see, my mind tell me the opposite. My flesh tell me opposite because I want to please people. But many times I tell you, when you walk in the spirit, you need to shut your mind off. Because if you follow your mind, the Holy Spirit cannot lead you. That's why the Bible says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. Your intellectual capacity cannot be better than the Holy Spirit. God knows everything. God knows what is the best for people at that moment. God knows what to say at that moment. Therefore, you need to be spiritual man and woman. Everyone say, I want to be a spiritual man, a spiritual woman. I want to be led by the Spirit. Inside my spirit, I offer my body as a living sacrifice. I renew my mind with the word of God. But my spirit will control my mind and my flesh in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. I tell you, if you can do this, no problem in your home, no more quarreling, no more fighting. Oh, life will be much easier. Because you follow the Spirit of God. Amen. Yes. Die to the flesh. Crucify the flesh. Crucify your flesh. Follow the Spirit of God. Amen. So, I don't think I can finish today. I have to continue. I may need to preach this 3 times. The third one before I go on, next Sunday, the third one, you're going to see that in the paper next time. The weighty manifest presence of God also is the glory of God. But I'm not going to go into detail in that one today. Before I end this sermon, we're going to talk about the manifest. That's going to be a fun one to talk about. The manifest weighty presence of God. We have a lot of scripture in there that I want to explain. Anyway, I want to conclude this. Everything that you see, the Milky Way, the sunsets, the storms, microscopic organism, your wife, your husband, everything that you see, God enjoys variety. Thank God that we have many skin colors, many hairstyles, many nationalities, many languages. God loves varieties. God loves color. God is powerful, He is organized, He is wise and creative. Everything, I want to say, in the world, reveals the glory of God. Amen. But the devil tried to steal that glory from you by putting you in sin, by putting you in bondage. That's why Jesus came, to set you free from bondage and from sin, so that you can reveal the glory of God even more than before. In fact, everyone who walk into this house right now, you reveal the glory of God at certain degree. Amen. Amen. This is an interesting scripture I want to read to you. Psalm 19 verse 1. The Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows His handiwork. Everything in the world show the glory of God. That's why we need to respect one another in the church. That's why we need to treat each other with respect. Because everyone in this room is the glory of God. Reveal the glory of God. That's why we need to avoid anything that will decrease the glory of God in our life. Let me read this one last scripture before we end the sermon. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. And such as violate the covenant he shall pervert. Talking about bad king here. And seduce with flatteries. But this is the key word. Whatever the enemy come toward you. Bad king, bad leadership or whatever. Represent Satan or bad spirit. But the people who know their God shall prove themselves strong. And shall stand firm and do exploits for God. We need to know our God by His Spirit and through His Word. If you know your God, you will be able to stand firm. You will be able to reveal yourself strong, stand firm, and do exploit for Him. I hope that this sermon will help you to start to have new perspective that your God is perfect. And that is your goal. He is perfect. And He wants us to be perfect like Him. By His glory. By His power. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about the manifest presence of God. In detail. How God revealed His manifest presence in the world. And it's going to help you a lot. You know, sometimes I feel jealousy against Moses. That Moses saw the glory of God in the mountain. The burning bush. And I say to God, why it happened to him but not to me? Why? I want to see the cloud of glory, the fire on the top of this building. And I believe that the reason we don't see those things, because we never taught the church enough about the glory of God. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of God. We're going to see the glory of God fill the earth. Just like the sea. Just like water cover the sea. We're going to learn about the glory of God and we're going to expect the glory of God in our home, in our church, in our ministry. We're going to start to see the glory of God because we learn about it and we have faith in it and we expect it. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This morning, before we close in prayer, I want to invite any one of you here who say, God, I'm not sure that if I die today, or if I die, I will go to heaven. God loves you. God wants you to have relationship with Him. And the best thing to do is just to say, God, I humble myself. I am a sinner. I know Jesus died for me. I believe that He is the Son of the living God. Could you please come into my life, Jesus, and forgive my sin? It's very simple. If you just humble yourself to do that, you will have a guarantee that your life will never be the same. I want to encourage you this morning. If you really want to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, you say, God, I'm tired of my old life. I want a new life. I need your help, Lord. Could you please do me a favor? Could you please do God a favor? Could you please humble yourself and say, God, I need you. I want you to do like this. Could you please stand up and I will pray with you. Stand up. Say, God, I need you. Stand up and say, God, I need you. Don't be shy. God say, if you acknowledge me before man, I will acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. Stand up. You say, God, I need you. Get saved today. If some of you say, God, I have sinned against you. I'm not sure my relationship with you is right. I want you to forgive me and I want to restore that relationship again. Stand up too. If you're not sure of your salvation right now, just stand up and say, God, I repent of my sin. Could you please help me? Stand up. Hallelujah. Stand up. Acknowledge God before men. Anyone else? Don't be shy. Don't be shy. If you say, God, I'm not sure that my relationship with you is right. I need your help. Stand up. Hallelujah. I'd like to lead you in prayer. Father in heaven, please forgive me. I have sinned against you. I want to be reconciled to you. Lord, I denied demonic power. I deny sin in my life. I want to follow the righteousness of God. Please, Lord, cleanse me with the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus, please come into my life. Fill my life with your presence. Come in right now, Lord. Fill me. Help me, Lord. I surrender to you. Jesus, I want to proclaim and confess that you are Lord and Savior of my life. I give my life to you. I believe that you have forgiven me. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Congratulations that you make that choice. Hallelujah. 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 Let's sing this song.
Trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.